All right, so let's go ahead and jump in. We'll probably have a couple of members joining us shortly here, but we'll get the party started and kind of warm the seats for them since we're all here and eager to go. So Ashley and Ren, you've both been here before. Jasmine, this is your first call. Yay, welcome. Big hugs. Super happy that you're here. Yay, yay, yay. So what we're going to do is this call format's going to be similar to previous call formats, but a little bit different in a couple of ways. So I'm just going to go ahead and walk you ladies through what we're going to be doing tonight. And so everybody knows what's going on. And then we'll start with our introductions in a second here. So first we will start with introductions, and tonight we're going to add a couple of things to our introduction round, and I'm going to be screen sharing kind of on and off with us tonight because there are some questions that it's going to be super interactive. There's going to be a lot of questions that you ladies get to be asking each other and sharing with each other. So at any rate, introductions. Tonight we're going to be doing name, location, something you're grateful for, how are you feeling? So these are all, we do these pretty much every time. And then tonight we're going to add a couple more questions and shares just to tune in with each other a little bit more deeply, and also so that I can laser in better on where y'all are at with the worthiness theme or the unworthiness theme. So we would also like to know what inspired you to join this call, and what would you like to get out of this call? So if you have an answer to those, great. If you just kind of randomly meandered into this group, then that's okay too. But if there was something that stands out that did appeal to you or something that you'd like to get out of this, that would be awesome for me to know. And then we're going to do pretty much for the remainder of the call, we're going to do a series of round robins where each of you are going to be asking each other some questions around the theme of self-worth, self-value. And typically what I would do is I'm going to stop the share here. Typically what I do is I'll do some like teaching or some sharing of some resources or some super awesome laser distilled information for you ladies, and then we'll do a group activity. But tonight I want to try something a little bit different. I want to weave it in throughout the call kind of during its entirety. So we're going to start with a group exercise, do another kind of Q&A round robin, and then I'm going to drop in and share some kind of like pull the mask off of this whole unworthiness and or unworthiness, or, you know, not valuing ourselves. I'm going to pull some layers back from that. And we're going to get really clear about what's going on when we feel unworthy, or when we feel like we don't have value, or we don't deserve to do or be whatever we want. And then we're going to learn some powerful things. And then we're going to do a wrap out closing group exercise. So I really want these calls to be as interactive as possible, as well as educational. And lately I've been kind of feeling like I want it to be woven in a little bit more so, like through the interim. So tonight we're experimenting. It may work, it may not. We might, I don't know. We'll see. So introductions, and then I'll go ahead and facilitate the round robins and instruct as we go through those. Hi, Lisa. Yay.
Hi.
Hi. So good to see you. Hi. Okay, so we're just about to start introductions, Lisa, and the only thing that you need to know with regard to that is there are two additional questions involved with the usual, so I'm just going to go from top to bottom. What's your name? Where are you located? Something you're grateful for? How are you feeling? What inspired you to join the call? And what would you like to get out of this call if those last two resonate? So I will start out. So I'm Fawn, and I am currently in Friday Harbor on the island of San Juan Islands off the coast of Washington. I've been kind of kicking around the islands for the past couple of weeks here, end up in Vancouver Island area, and it's so gorgeous. And I just took a ferry over here this morning with my puppy, and it's like the cutest little seaside village. I'm like, is this real? So that's where I am right now. I'm feeling really grateful to be here and be still adventuring, and it just feels so fulfilling to continue to be on the road right now. It sounds kind of strange because I've been on the road all summer, but I'm loving it. So grateful for that. I'm feeling excited and a little bit quite a bit curious to know if this new format is going to flow. I hope it does, but never know until I try. And what inspired this call for me, this theme comes up all the time with all of us, right? With me and my coaches, me and my personal development. It was one of the biggest, one of the hugest stones that I had to move or got to move with my coaches when I was first starting my personal development journey a long time ago, was around worthiness in a lot of different capacities. And like, so anyway, that's been with me for a long time. I've been doing this work for a long time and I'm excited to share it with you ladies. And I hope to get out of this call. Well, it's more about what I hope to give on this call. I hope I get to give all of you ladies some more context and insight and tools to navigate your worthiness and your value. So, okay. I'm going to circle over to Lisa. Would you be willing to introduce yourself? You are muted, perhaps.
Hi.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
All right. I'm Lisa. I'm in Sandpoint, Idaho tonight. I am grateful for, I'm grateful for my friendship with my friend Lance, who I just spent some time with talking and sharing some heart and, getting some work stuff figured out, but, it's always good to connect on a heart level with friends. So I'm really grateful for that moment that just happened. I am here because I just want to be in the circle tonight. And of course, it's perfect timing because my worthiness meter is about down here right now. I'm just feeling really kind of, I'm feeling pretty unwoven right now, which has been a common theme for me for a while. So I'm hoping to get out of this some ahas that I can meditate on as I navigate some pretty rough waters over the next week.
Thanks for sharing that. Really appreciate it. Yeah.
So we're at tonight.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Miss Wren. Hello.
Hello, I'm Ren. I am just outside Rockford, Illinois. Today, I'm grateful for a lot of things. I think I'm mostly grateful for close friends right now. I've got a couple of really close friends. One who's become a really close friend over the last year and a half. And it's just kind of awesome. Which is nice because my closest friend otherwise is like all the way out in like Philadelphia. So, So I'm extremely grateful to have a close friend nearby. How am I feeling today? I'm not really sure. I haven't really checked in with myself very well on that today. I started off the day frustrated and kind of discombobulated, but I mean, it's gotten better throughout the day. So it's just okay. I'm just okay. Not in a bad way, though. I mean, things happen. I'm still getting used to this new freelance job.
Right.
So I'm a little bit off kilter this week still, but that's okay.
Congrats, by the way.
Thank you. Oh, my God. That was so fast. It was, like, ridiculous. I was not expecting how quickly that went.
So awesome, Ren. Yay.
Yeah, I am... you know, as I'm thinking about it, I am so happy because it's scheduled to last at least through December. So if it at least gets me through the holidays, I should be all right. But it could go to February, maybe. So, I mean, as long as we get to January, I'm fine. And I'm happy and I'm ecstatic because that's exactly what I need and exactly what I want.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So what inspired you to be on this call today?
Not entirely sure, other than I really like hanging out with you guys and learning stuff. I mean, it is something that comes up from time to time. Most especially this past summer, it well, spring, this past spring, it was really coming up quite a bit. And if, and I knew it was ridiculous, but I mean, you got to get through it the best you can sometimes and hopefully learn something better later. So I think this will help. What do I want to get out of it? I don't know what, I guess just even one new thing to learn is always good. And also the community that we have here, just getting and giving something with that is always good too.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So happy to have you here. Yeah. Yay. And Ashley, hello.
Hello. Sorry, I had to put myself off mute. Hi, I'm Ashley. I'm in Los Angeles, California. And I am grateful. I'm grateful today that I got to go to the beach this afternoon and chill out and look at the ocean, which was really calming and great. So I did that this afternoon, and it was just really nice to reconnect. And I forgot how good a beach day in the ocean can be for the soul. So it was nice to do that, especially because this will transition into how I'm feeling. I'm just feeling, I had a crappy morning with some personal stuff and whatever. So it was just helpful that I was able to get out and outside and all of that. And then I recently left my job. And
woo! Yeah, I was hoping you were going to say that. Yes.
The last day was Friday and it's crazy, but I'm taking some time off and that's still a little awkward because I don't know what to do with my time. But so I'm just trying to figure that out. And then what inspired me to join this call, I didn't join last call, but I joined the time before, and I just got so much out of it. And like Rin was saying, the community and all of that, I was like, well, I can join now. I have a lot more time. So that's why I joined. I mean, obviously self-worth and that comes up, at times, but especially when it's self-care stuff that I just need to like actually relax and whatever. But, but that's what inspired me to call and to join the call. And then I'm looking forward to just hoping to get out of this, you know, something to take away and to, I don't know, a good reminder to, you know, take a step back and feel like, yes, you are worthy of taking a break and doing what you're doing for yourself. It's not selfish, all that. So yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. Yay. And I'm so happy that you went to the beach today. That was one of Ashley's action items, was to relax and go to the beach. She did it. Yes. Good for you. Awesome. All right. So Jasmine, I saved you for the last in the circle here because you are our new sister, and I want to give you a wholehearted welcome from all of us here. So happy to have you. Big hugs.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about yourself if you'd be willing to go through the introduction.
Yeah, sure. My name's Jasmine. I am in Sussex County, New Jersey. I usually follow that up with, it's the most beautiful part of New Jersey. I live like right on the Delaware Water Gap, and it's like the country. So if you ever want anything but the bad smell of the turnpike, you come visit me, and I'll put a different spin on the good old state of New Jersey. I am grateful for, I'd probably have to say today, my best friend, Lindsay, who I work with, and who also, lives really close to me. I called her a mess last night. My husband's in Alaska hunting for 2 weeks. And, I'm usually fine. This is probably one of the most difficult hunts he'll do. And I actually just heard from him, so I'm not as anxious right now. They came out of the mountains, they're hunting doll sheep, and they couldn't get across an ice pass. It was too dangerous. So I don't know what they're going to do, but he could call me. So I know he's alive. We have two little children. They're amazing and beautiful, and Yeah, that's how I'm feeling.
Relieved.
Yeah, I'm feeling like I love them so much, but then that brought me to tears because I love them so much, which brought me to tears of like, what if he doesn't come home? Which brought me to like tears of love, which like was full circle last night. So I had to just play that out, and she helped me through that. So I'm grateful for my best friend. That was a really long grateful. Okay. I am feeling, a flurry of things. I just went back to work. I teach high school and junior high math. And, this is my first full year back in 3 years. Which I don't know why I'm feeling how I'm feeling about it. And it's part of the reason I'm working with you because I'm still not sure if I want to be here. So I'm feeling mixed emotions. I'm just going to leave it with mixed. But excited to be on my first call. What inspired me? Honestly, my personality type is when I choose to do something, I try to go all in. So I'm going to hope to be on every call and just soak up everything that you all have to offer. And, just, I believe in that. I think everyone has something to give, and I just want to connect with as many wonderful people that I can. I want to just broaden my network. Where I live is beautiful, but it's a very small, rural white county in New Jersey. Although I love the location, I'm feeling like intellectually and emotionally, I need to branch out and just reach a bigger crowd. Mm-hmm. The point of the call, I definitely have, I think, a strong sense of self-worth, but I definitely doubt my ability to make, I guess, scary moves or... I don't know. Changes if I've got a type A personality. So if I'm not 100% sure on something, it's difficult to make the move. So I was reading through the list, and I do a lot of the, I don't know if I can, mm-hmm. or, if you told me what it was, I could probably tell you, yes, I could, or yes, I couldn't. But if it's kind of unknown or fuzzy, I definitely go to that place of self-doubt. Right. Yeah. The point is to be part of the community and meet new people and just soak it all in.
Awesome.
So, nice to meet you all.
Yay. Thank you so much for sharing that. It's wonderful to get to know you, and thanks for opening up a little bit more broadly outside of the questions or in context of those and sharing who you are with us. I mean, I like totally fell in love with you on our first call, but these ladies don't know you yet. So.
Yeah, I really did. I felt like we connected, and it's really motivating to talk to somebody like that. And I assume that if you felt that way with me, I'm not the only one. And that means that I have the opportunity to connect with, you know, other people that are in this, hopefully, you know, relatively.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. Silvio, come here. He gets excited when he hears voices, my puppy. Okay. So yeah, thank you so much, Jazz. And who can relate with what Jasmine was just sharing about like community and kind of feeling a little bit like a need or a desire for more people on the same wavelength or the same vibration. Like, anyone relate with that? Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much. Yeah. That's a really big part of this community, Jasmine. And like anybody else who's listening in is, as we embark on these journeys of self-growth, whether we've been doing this for 10 years or 10 minutes, it can start to feel, first of all, it's really vulnerable, right? Because we're pretty much admitting to the universe, like, hey, I kind of don't know what I'm doing, but I do, and then also the information that we're learning and the transformation that's happening and these things that we're doing and these beliefs that we're shifting, it can kind of create this distance between the social wavelength that we were on in some ways, and really create this desire for a greater connection with people who like get it, right? Not that we're like elite or anything. There's no like higher or lower necessarily, but it's more about, oh, okay, like you're working through this, like you're committed to yourself in this way, like you're confused too. Awesome. Like I'm not alone, right? So yeah, I appreciate you sharing that. And I do hear that a lot on the, you know, first or second calls that I have with you ladies, or the first or second calls while you're here, is like that desire, right? This kind of yearning or craving for some sisters who can relate with what's going on. So yeah, thanks for speaking to that. Awesome. Okay. So intro round complete. Let's go ahead and dive into the workbook here, or the theme of the call in the workbook. And I will be, as I mentioned, toggling back and forth between the workbook and the full screen share, because I love when everybody can actually see each other's faces. Actually, since there's four tonight instead of like 10, can you all see each other? Maybe I don't have to toggle. Oh, you can. Sweet. All right. Sometimes there's like 12 and I have to like go back and forth, but tonight we're an intimate group. Okay, so let's start out with some self-worth questions. So this is for us to kind of get a sense of like where each other are and where we are in terms of this thing called self-worth, or, you know, valuing ourselves. So this, Jasmine, just to let you know, and for the rest of you as a refresher, these calls are a safe place. They're a safe container to share and to open up and to get vulnerable. And there's no pressure at all to share if you don't want to. And there's no judgment for anything that is said in this space at all. We're here to be honest. We're here to support each other. We're here to see each other's humanity and accept and shed the light of love on our humanity. So I just want everyone to know that this is, you know, obviously it's a safe space. And anything that you may feel called to share, you are invited to do so. And with that being said, especially around this theme, it's probably going to feel pretty stretchy, right? So if somebody asks you something in these round robins, or a question comes your way and you're like, oh man, like that's pretty, the honesty feels really scary. You don't have to share it, but you're invited to do so, because when we speak our truth, the things that we usually kind of keep buttoned up or compartmentalized because society for whatever reason, we don't feel like we can let them out or people won't understand, that causes a lot of shame, a lot of kind of self-sabotage. But when we can let these things out into the light of day and say, yeah, you know what, like I do care what other people think of me, or I do judge myself because I'm broke a lot, or whatever the things are, when we can speak to those things, not only does it like, not only is it healing for ourselves to be honest with ourselves, but it's also like so connective for us as a group to realize that we're all in this together. We're not alone. So that's my invitation here, is to play it at the vulnerable level of vulnerability that you can and feel safe in doing. All right. Make sense? Everybody good? Okay. So another thing we do in this group also, just as a refresher, if someone can relate with something someone's saying, there's a fun little way of expressing that without interrupting them. So one hand is like, yeah, I totally get what you're saying there. Two hands is like, oh my gosh, you are speaking my reality right now. And like big hands are like, oh my gosh, like this, I relate with this so much. It's really eerie, right? You're just like, woo, I can totally get you. So, and that's a fun way for us also to connect visually and know that we're not alone in what we're sharing. Or if we're sharing something and nobody has their little wiggly fingers up, totally fine. Like we're all unique creatures and we all have our isms and our uniquenesses. Cool. All right. So I'm going to, hang back in terms of like the Q&A, but I am here to facilitate. So what we're going to do is I'm going to invite each of you to ask each other these three questions. Let's try not to stick on these like too much, or let's be mindful of like elaborating or going down like tangents or rabbit holes, because we do have quite a bit to cover tonight. But with that being said, please do express what you feel to be alive in you in terms of what comes up around this stuff. So I'll let me write this down, because sometimes the boxes or the video squares, whatever they're called, change on me. So we'll do Ashley on this round. We'll ask Ren. Ren will ask Lisa, and Lisa will ask Jasmine, and then Jasmine will ask Ashley. Okay. And Lisa, is it still the case that you need to hop off a little bit before the call ends? Oh, I can't hear you. There you are.
I need to leave about. We need a 7.
Say that again, sorry?
I need to leave about 20 to 7. So okay. I have a 20 minutes. Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. Good to know. All right. So is everybody comfortable with doing some round robins to dig into this theme? Please raise your hand if you are consenting to this strategy activity. You guys are all such badasses. All right. Okay. So Ash, please go ahead and you can do these. You can ask Ren these questions either like boom to boom to boom, or ask one, Ren answers, ask the other one, Ren answers, whatever rhythm feels most, however you want to do it.
Got it. Hey, Ren.
Hey, Ashley.
I will just ask you in order and then let you answer. So what does self-worth mean to you?
To me, self-worth, and typically this only pertains to me, not to other people, but for me, self-worth means being able to work and contribute and earn good money so that I can pay all of my bills. That's always a big one. A lot of times it means being good at what I do. If I'm not good at what I do, that's okay. If I don't know what I'm doing, but if I know what I'm doing, I'm kind of like bleeding into the other questions here. If I don't know what I'm doing and I think that I should know what I'm doing, then I start to feel unworthy, or less valuable, or having less value. And that just feels bad. I don't know how to describe it appropriately. Like pitch black in the depths of a swamp, bad.
Fair enough. Yeah, you kind of answered. You did answer. What does it feel like when you feel unworthy? What about? Yeah. I guess go back to when you feel worthy and of value.
That's when I can feel content, satisfied. And a lot of times, like especially if I do something, even if it's a little something to actually help someone, whether it's in their job or whatever it is, then I kind of get that little bit of a warm glow kind of feeling.
Yeah.
And then that's when I really feel, worthy and valued.
No, totally. Yeah. Whenever I'm able to help somebody, even if it's like super little, I'm like,
yeah,
oh God, I helped you. I helped someone.
Right. Yeah, there's my bright spot for the day.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that, Ren. Awesome.
Yeah.
Would you be willing to check in with Lisa with these questions, Ren?
Yeah. Hey, cool. Lisa. You're on mute, hon. You're still on mute. Yeah. You can't hear me either, can you? You can?
Do you want me to unmute you, Lisa? Oh, there you are.
There we go.
Yay.
It's been one of those days of not.
I get it. It's been one of those weeks for me.
You have a lot going on, it sounds like.
Yeah, as usual. Okay, so Lisa, what does self-worth mean to you?
Well, I would say it's when I feel like I am, when I'm living like my greatest truth, when I'm living with my personal integrity, I have a lot of self-worth. I mean, self-worth, if I were to explain it to my 12-year-old, I'd say self-worth is when you feel good about yourself, when you feel like your actions back up your words, when you're moving from a place of integrity.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
That's what I would tell my 12-year-old. When you feel good about who you are and about your effect on the world and the people around you.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of a definition of self-worth, I guess.
I love that.
Oh.
So what does it feel like for you then when you feel worthy and of value?
Well, I feel like I'm living my purpose, which ever since I was a little girl, I've known is to spread love in the world.
Aww.
I always said that, you know, that that's my purpose in life is to share the love.
Yeah. I love so, that.
Oh yeah. When I'm feeling worthy and of value, a lot of that is going on. I'm able to give of my energy. I'm able to be a good listener. I'm able to offer up my time, and it feels like, wow, I'm living my purpose. This is what I know I'm meant to do. So I feel good. I feel energized. I feel grounded. I feel organized. I feel beautiful. You know, I feel like, wow, I have a place in life.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's how I feel when I'm feeling good. When I'm feeling like shit. And I want to like be in the fetal position.
Right.
It's very contracted. It's very isolate. You know, it's the direct opposite of that outward, that giving. It's the contraction.
Yeah. So
it feels heavy and it just, you know, it's that dark place that you were referring to.
Yeah.
It's heavy and like my vibration is really low. Mm-hmm. And that I can't access my wisdom as well. My knowing how to channel goodness in my life, it's harder for me to access that. And that sucks. Yeah. I don't like that. And then at that point, I get confused. I get disorganized. I get freaking scrambled to the hilt. And then the cascade happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can totally relate to all of that.
Yeah. Anyone else be like, really? Oh, group hug.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah.
And I wish I could put into words what you just said.
What's that?
I said, I wish I could put into words how you just spoke.
Oh.
Well, yeah, that's me.
Oh. Yeah, it's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Maybe I'll have this call transcribed and we can all kind of print this out and like have it as our reminder. Thank you for sharing that, Lisa. That was very resonant with a lot of us. Would you be willing to check in with Jasmine about this? Sounds like you guys both have some relatability.
Yeah, Jasmine, hi.
Hi.
So what can you share with us about what self-worth means to you in your world and in this time of your life?
Yeah. So my verbal communication with the connection of my emotions doesn't, something I need to work on. So I'm trying to find the words. Mm-hmm. It's,
I totally get that.
Yeah. It's like, so when I'm not concerned with others, I think I have the strongest sense of self-worth. When throughout my day or days or weeks, when you had said it, I think when you feel like you're living in your truth, like what you do and how that affects others and concerns others or others react to that doesn't affect you or penetrate your bubble. Like I always envision a sphere that I have, and I, you know, I say to my kids, like, you're not getting into this. Like you're not going to bring me down. You're not going to, I don't know, change the positivity or the energy that I have. And I think that, I guess when I feel unworthy is when perhaps that's penetrated, and it, as soon as that's punctured for me, it's like, I can recognize it, but it doesn't mean it's hard to stop those feelings. So I just start to question. I really like what you said about like your vibration is low. I guess I'm going with both the next two questions, but when I feel like I'm giving and I'm sharing in like what I have, which I believe is a lot, and it's beautiful, my vibrations are high. I love that phrase. But when they're not, I get the same way. I can't organize myself, and then I feel like like what's my purpose? Like, what am I doing? And then I just pile all these other random things on my plate so that I feel like I'm doing something and I'm like checking a box, or, you know, it's sporadic and not fulfilling. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I don't know. I'll like go start on a random Khan Academy class. That like, yeah, I'm learning something and it's interesting, but I literally don't know why I'm doing it. And it's not in line with my goals, but it's because somebody somewhere or something throughout the day made me question who I am or how smart I am or what I'm doing. And I have to reassure myself, or I don't know, make progress somehow.
That seems like a really essential insight there.
Yeah.
So when you are feeling, do you want to expand any more on when you are feeling worthy, to kind of finish with, you know, how you feel when you're feeling worthy?
Yeah, I do believe I feel worthy a lot, but I would have to pinpoint it. So with the kids, it's easy. My kids are little, they're 3 and 1. So they make me feel worthy in like the most innocent, beautiful ways, with little hands on my face and I love you mommies, and just like pure joy at seeing the dump truck. And that's like I'm providing a life for two human beings that literally are just joyful, and also a lot of work, but the struggle is beautiful in and of itself. Mm-hmm. So that's probably my strongest sense right now of self-worth.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And I don't know, there's a lot of facets, right, that we can go into, like work or with Joel or, but in general, I think it just, like somebody said, it makes you feel warm and fuzzy. So no matter where or who it happens with, if you're in touch in that moment, you get the actual sensation physically and mentally. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Awesome.
Thanks.
Thank you for sharing that. That was quite poetic as well. I'm definitely having this one transcribed. This is going to be like the worthiness handbook. Okay. Thank you for sharing that. That was so sweet. As you were describing your children's hand, it's so sweet.
Yeah.
Aw, and Jazz, would you be up to checking in with Ashley?
Sure. Hey, Ashley.
Hey.
So when you think of the term self-worth, what does it bring to mind? What does it mean to you?
So to me, it means confidence, I think, in a lot of different ways. Definitely career-wise, but also personally as well. And then just that understanding and acceptance of who you are as you are, that you are good enough in the way you are. So that really, that resonates with me when I talk about and I think about self-worth.
Mm-hmm. Who you are and as you are to yourself.
Yes. It's along the lines of what you were saying earlier, when you're like not going to let anybody like rock your boat or penetrate your positivity and all that. It's when I'm able to just step back and take that as it is.
Yeah.
And be like, take it as it feels that way. That's fine. But I feel this way about myself and how that's what I'm going to do and how I'm going to feel and how I'm going to be. So, yeah.
And when you feel that way about yourself, can you describe that, or does anything specific come to mind?
When I think when, like we were talking about earlier, when I'm able to contribute or add value or help others figure out something in their life or figure out something at work or whatever, that's when I feel kind of worthy and have a lot of value and that I'm actually contributing and mm-hmm. all of that. And it does. I like, somebody told me the other day that I was a good writer at work and he was like, oh my gosh, you're a really good writer or whatever. And I was like, that's when you get all the warm and fuzzies. And I'm like, oh, I actually like did something good and whatever.
But, you had a little taller, a little pep in your step.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then all but the opposite, when I feel unworthy, it's similar to what you were saying. If something happens throughout the day where I start to question myself, am I actually smart enough? Can I actually do this? Right now I'm going through, I quit my 15-year career to figure out something else because I don't want to be in the corporate world anymore. At least I don't think I do. And maybe I want something more flexible. Yeah. I want something more flexible and it's probably going to be more entrepreneurial, obviously. And I question myself, like, can I really do that? I don't know. But then I got to step back and like, no, yes, I can. This is why I'm doing all these things right now. So, kind of that's when I start to feel unworthy. It's like when I don't know what I'm doing or something has caused me along the way to question myself throughout the day.
Yeah, you are not alone.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. Yeah, that was really potent, ladies. Thank you all so much for sharing what the experience is like for you, right? This, like, what does it mean to you? And then what does it feel like when it's there? What does it feel like when it's not? And interwoven with a lot of your responses there were mentions of the triggers, right? That have you then feeling like that warm and fuzzy feeling or going into that like dark place of low vibration. And those are such like visceral ways of describing this. I'm so grateful that you ladies are utilizing like the different senses to express what this is like, because it's certainly emotional, right? Like worthiness or unworthiness, it's an emotional and physiological somatic experience. It's not just like a cognitive thought of like, I am unworthy. It's like, there's a lot of other stuff that comes along with it. So yeah, I'm grateful for the palette that we're creating here to describe this and paint this picture. So I will invite, let's see here. Raise your hand if you'd like to share anything additional to like any triggers that lead to you feeling worthy or valuable. Just go ahead and raise your hand if you'd like to share like, oh, like this is something that really like I feel value around or I feel good about myself around. We'll start with that and then we'll land on the unworthy ones. So it could be, and it can be anything. There's no right or wrong. It could be like, oh yeah, like I actually did save $300 last month, or I didn't eat that piece of cake last night, or whatever the things are where we're like, yeah, like I'm feeling worthy. Anything come up? Yeah, Jasmine, thank you.
I think I feel most worthy, and somebody touched on it, when I feel as though I'm helping or spreading the love to other people. So when I have feedback and it's, you know, you're a really great person to talk to and I really feel like I can connect with you, or you're someone that really holds space for me, or you're supportive, you know, you're non-judgmental, you show me love, and that sense of purpose in someone's life is really strong. And I think that probably makes most people feel really good. And there's definitely been times where it's like, well, I'm really good at this. Maybe I should be a life coach too. Like, you know?
Yes, yes.
It's like, it's just, I think, like when you really boil it down, it's just the essence of human connection and that we all just yearn for love and acceptance. And when you can give that to somebody else and they can see that and accept that, and you can see that you're giving that feels really like you're valuable and you are of value, not only to like that other person, but maybe others as well.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah. Who can relate with that? Yeah. Awesome. Such a backbone of this tribe. And I don't overtly like say this necessarily when you all meet me or start working with me, but something I'm really paying attention to in the ladies that I choose to work with is a focus and a value on service and of bringing value to others and wanting to be a positive contribution in the world. Well, we'll get to this in a second. Not that that dictates your value, but that's something that my antenna are always out for, because you ladies are the ones who are the world changers, right? The positive influencers in the most real way. So I appreciate you bringing that up. Oh my gosh. Hi, Julie. Have you been here the whole time? No. Okay. Like, oh my gosh. And I see Galaxy S10. This whole time there've been ladies on here. I didn't know. And we just lost Jasmine, I think. Oh, okay. Hi, Julie. Hi, Galaxy S10. Would you mind telling us who you are? Whoever's calling you. Oh my God, Paige with the pink hair. Yes. Okay.
Well, sorry, I'm taking all the time.
I am taking off the. Nope. We got to see this hair. You guys, look at this. So badass. Somebody starts cosmetology school on Monday.
You know, it's funny because I was listening to you guys talk about worthiness and unworthiness. It was really funny because I put myself out there in a way where I went to, it was like an event, and they had a makeup artist there that was going to be doing like a demonstration. And like, I don't really know anything about this guy. The whole time I was watching him, I got this.
It's kind of hard to hear you, Paige. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. I'm not sure if that's the case for anybody else. But
can you hear me now?
Oh my God, so much better. Yes.
Sorry, there was my microphone.
Go ahead and share, and then we're going to drop back into the activity. No, you're good.
So I went to this event where they had a makeup artist there, and I don't know, the whole time he was talking about like makeup and like application and how to wear it and how not to wear it, and all the examples he kept mentioning were like what I felt like I was probably doing wrong. He's talking about like Instagram makeup and like blocky eyebrows. And I'm like, oh my God, are my eyebrows too blocky right now? And then I'm thinking about my blue eyeshadow and my pink hair. I'm like, oh my God, am I like the epitome of Instagram makeup where I just look like, like a crazy clown or something? So I started to get really self-conscious because I was like, oh my God, you know, like here I am with my bright pink hair and my blue eyeshadow. And I was like, he's probably just talking about me, and I'm probably like the example of everything that, you know, is being done wrong. And I'm just like getting all in my head. And it just made me feel like really unworthy, to be honest. And I was just starting to think like, oh my God, like maybe I'm not on his level. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. Like maybe I'm not going to get there, you know? And then I talked to him and he's like name dropping like all these famous makeup artist, and I'm just like slowly getting more and more intimidated and feeling like, oh my God, like what am I doing?
Well, I'm glad.
And then I realized that like, you know, your self-worth is not about what other people think, you know, like there's always going to be people out there that have pink hair and that are going to want to wear garish makeup or whatever, you know, like what one person considers garish, somebody else might think is stylish. So
damn right.
I know. And after listening to you guys talk again, I was like, oh my God, I'm doing that thing that I do where I'm putting the cart before the horse and I'm expecting to be a professional, and like I'm already going to be working with Peter Roth and all these other celebrities. But no, I'm not there yet, and I realize, you know, and I have to take my time. So that was just something I had to share.
Yeah, thank you so much for jumping in and sharing that. And my apologies. I had no idea that Julie and Paige had joined after introduction round because I've been on screen share. So I'm sorry, ladies.
Oh, it's okay.
So thank you for that, Paige. That's actually an awesome, awesome segue. And I'm going to move on to the next exercise and we'll continue to do the round robin. Okay, let's see here. And go ahead and mute yourselves, lady. I'm hearing ladies. Oh, a little bit of background. Awesome. Okay. So that was such a great segue, Paige. Thank you so much. It's like just in the nick of time. So we're going to shift into how do we measure our self-worth? And for those of you who have done this last round of sharing, a lot of you mentioned things like social, right? A lot of these social elements of when we're contributing, when we're helping others, we feel really good. Or when our bubble is intact, right? That sphere that Jasmine was describing, feeling confident, feeling like, yeah, like this is who I am. This is what I'm doing. No one can fuck with this. Like, you know, this is me, right? And living my truth and alignment. And then you all so eloquently described what that feels like, how that shows up. And then when it doesn't, right? Like what triggers the lack of self-worth or the unworthiness. So I'm going to shift into a little bit of just kind of sharing what the research has to say about this. And it's probably going to sound super obvious because we all experience this in very similar ways. But what the primary thing that I really want to peel back here, like and unveil, is that I'm calling it the dragon of self-doubt down here, which I'll talk about in a second. But this dragon of self-doubt, so it's like even bigger than a gremlin, right? Because the gremlins are the things we talk about a lot that are the limiting beliefs, and they're the, like, you know, the I can'ts, I shouldn'ts. I guess gremlins do manifest as unworthiness. But to me, unworthiness is a dragon. It's even bigger because it is what affects everything else. As so many of you have described already tonight, when we're not feeling worthy, it kind of influences everything, right? Like we show up completely differently if we're washing the dishes or if we're like, you know, hanging out with our family, if we're feeling unworthy versus worthy. So I consider it to be this kind of a big deal. But the good news is that usually 99% of the time, and I want to be very mindful about the way that I present this because, there are a lot of cases where there's like something biochemical going on or there's clinical depression or clinical anxiety. And I'm certainly not speaking to those. Those are absolutely like legitimate things that, that are outside of our control sometimes. But what I am speaking to are the dragons that come out because of the stories we're telling ourselves, right? And these dragons and these stories are typically because we are comparing ourselves. And comparing ourselves to other people is usually number one, but comparing ourselves to this like illusory perfection of ourselves, this image of perfection that we might have in our heads of how we should be. I think I heard the word should several times in your ladies' shares, right? So like, oh, I should blah, blah, blah. I should be more. I should be less. I should, ugh. So this comparisonitis is what my coach used to call it when I was working with one coach in particular. And we work really heavily in comparisonitis because that's the thing that can really take us out. It's like a disease, right? Or a sickness. So how do we measure ourselves? And so these are some things in the research that I was doing in the past couple of weeks that kept coming up resoundingly, that when we measure ourselves by these metrics, this is when our self-worth like goes up or goes down, right? This kind of like thing. Like, so if I'm feeling like I'm looking good, so Paige, awesome segue, right? Because you're like, oh God, like we all probably think that you look fucking awesome tonight. And obviously like you're rocking yourself in a way that feels super aligned and you look great as far as we're concerned. But here you are at this lecture or this demonstration by this makeup artist and he's like, you know, pink hair or blocky eyebrows or what have you. And so the self-worth that may have been like up here is now kind of going on the dip, right? Going on the down. So what I want to really, 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 really invite all of you ladies to keep in mind always is that self-worth is unconditional. It is unconditional, period. Like whether we look horrible, we think we look horrible or we do look horrible, whether we're poor or we're rich or whether we know Lady Gaga or we just don't know anybody, like none of these external factors. I know this sounds bananas, but I'm going to unpack it in a second. These external factors that we measure ourselves by, if we are measuring ourselves by these, they're going to turn up the volume or turn down the volume on our self-worth if we let it, right? If we allow ourselves to believe that, oh, because I have a PhD, which I don't, but because I don't have a PhD, I am less qualified to help others, right? So that would turn my volume knob way down. as opposed to me sharing or having the belief or the story that I am here to share all the skills that I can, and I'm going to do it as potently as possible, right? So instead of making that value judgment, living my truth instead. So I just want all of you to, like, if necessary, print these out, keep these in mind. When you start to feel unworthy, check in with yourself. Who am I? What am I comparing myself to, right? How am I comparing myself? What am I judging myself by right now? So not only does the research show that these things are horrible indices of self-worth, but also that self-worth is, it's something that we've constructed as humans based on a shit ton of programming, which I know I talk about a lot, but that's because it's where we get all of our beliefs. So debunking the dragon of doubt. So everything is inherently meaningless, as we talked about on the last call, which, not to sound like a nihilist, but bear with me. So we give and create meaning to everything, right? So as Paige was just sharing, again, Paige, thank you for chiming in. For some people, pink hair might be like absolutely amazing, incredible, but for garish, or some people might think that it's garish or like, oh my God, like she's a sinner, or like whatever. So humans give meaning to things, right? So we are brought up in this world, brought into this world, most of us at least, in very judgmental, conditional, pass-fail world where the value metrics are impressioned upon us, right? So thinking back even to our childhood, like good boy, bad boy, good girl, bad girl, good grades, bad grades, you know, like there's this, what's the word I'm looking for? Polarity that we exist in, that we're constantly judged by in whatever culture, whatever religion, whatever society, right? And what that does is we forget. There's this great forgetting that happens, and we forget that we are inherently worthy, right? We're inherently valuable because we exist. So this typically happens. I was talking to another client about this last week, and I mentioned to her, she's not here tonight, unfortunately, but I mentioned to her that this was going to be the theme of this call. And she was like, oh my gosh, she had this, that day she had had this holy shit moment, because she realized she had grown up in a religious, religious household where since she was a child, she was essentially told that she, you know, natural born sinner, inherently flawed, not worthy of God's love, unless, you know, check the boxes. So I'm not speaking poorly of religion. It's not even about that. What it's about is about realizing that we've been impressioned with conditionality, right? And some duality and some ways of thinking by which we have given our power to the outside world. So if we're feeling unworthy, check in with yourself. How might I be giving my power to the outside world, or like things that are beyond my control? So show of hands for, like, if you've gone on social media, like Facebook or Instagram or any of the social medias, and you've felt yourself like feeling unworthy, like that's a pretty common trigger where there's like, oh, this person's living a life I would like to live and I'm not, or social media is a pretty big trigger. Peer groups, right? Like high school reunions or seeing people you haven't seen in a while, or, you know, especially us as women, like our body image stuff can come up when we look at a billboard or when we see a commercial. So I just want to remind us all that there is a huge difference between like giving our worth away or basing our worth on external metrics versus internal metrics. So there's like the external ones are not absolutely true or false, right? Like every society is different. Every culture is different. Gosh, any like blocks of towns are different in their ways of thinking and doing things. So there is no absolute, and this is art, you know, some people would argue with this, but there's no absolute like rule of law or worthy or unworthy out there. So it's up to us to remember that we are born into this world and we're born of this world. We come into it and we are inherently worthy because we're here, because we exist. So we get to define our value. So whenever we're feeling like less valuable or unworthy, we get to check in with ourselves and ask this question of, what am I telling myself about myself, right? What am I telling myself about myself? Am I telling myself like, oh man, I'm a piece of shit because I didn't get my thing done? Or am I praising myself because I did the thing? So it's great to check in with how are we doing and how aligned are we with our values, right? But it's a different thing to start judging ourselves, right? That's when that whole, like, that flux starts to happen. And what we want to do is we first and foremost want to embrace that we are inherently, unconditionally valuable. Is this making sense? I know it might be stretchy. When I first started learning this stuff, I was like, yeah, I was so defiant. I remember my coach was like, what? I was so defiant. And I was like, well, no, like, we have to earn our worth. We have to earn our value. And like, I haven't earned my value. And, you know, I was like spitballing all of these arguments and all these protests about how I was like fighting for my lack of worth and my lack of value. And she was like, kind of just listened to me until I ran out of like things to say, and then dove into this unconditional value that is inherently who we are. So here's the big reveal, and then we're going to do an exercise. So as I was mentioned, and these are like just things that I kind of extrapolated from the literature as well as my own personal experience, but you are inherently and unconditionally worthy because you exist, right? So thinking about puppies, like I was thinking about my puppy all day, I was like, man, like he's valuable because he's a little puppy. It's not because he's this or that. It's because he exists, right? Same with flowers, same with trees. So looking to the natural world, right? We are of the natural world. We're very different, but we're also no different in essence. So is a flower less valuable or more valuable because it has 20 petals or 10 petals or because it's sprouting or because it's dying? No, it's inherently valuable as a flower. You are worthy of happiness, fulfillment, and love. This can be one that we work on for a while as humans, especially as women, that we are worthy of happiness, fulfillment, and love. Sometimes those feelings of unworthiness can really kick in. But again, that's like, and the conditionality is what creates that resistance. You're part and product of this universe, just as every other natural thing. You're absolutely valuable by nature of being. Okay. So no matter what people say, no matter what you do or don't do, regardless of what happens outside of you, you and only you can control how you feel about yourself. Like at the end of the day or in the middle of the day, you're the one who gets to control how you feel about yourself. And I also want to plug Kristen Neff's self-compassion video, or her TED talk, because she talks about the difference between self-esteem and self-worth. We're also told as we're growing up that in order to feel good about ourselves, or in order to motivate ourselves, we have to be hard on ourselves. Right? Like, oh, like I need to be good at this, and I need to get better at this, or like I need to overperform, or blah, 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 in order to feel good about myself. Yeah. And that's just simply misinformation from generations and generations of misinformation propagating itself or perpetuating itself. So for any of you who would like a refresher, go ahead and listen to or watch Kristen Neff's video. Bye, Lisa. Lisa has to hop off. So yeah, what I really invite all of you into, and there's probably going to be resistance at first, is unconditional self-worth and value. Unconditional. Like whether we're having a good day or a bad day, I'm still worthy, right? Whether I'm acing the test or failing the test, I'm still inherently worthy. Maybe I need to study a little more. Maybe I'm not super great at math right now, but that doesn't mean that I'm unworthy or I'm not valuable. Okay, so some magic wands that you can wield. So I know I talk about Byron Katie's The Work a lot. And for those of you who are familiar, this will be familiar for you. But for those of you who are not, I will likely be doing this with you in the near future or in our journey together. So essentially what Byron Katie's The Work does and is cognitive behavioral therapy. And cognitive behavioral therapy is all about examining our patterns and systems of thinking, because it's, again, everything's meaningless. And so if we're having some trouble in our lives, it's probably because about how we're thinking about the thing, right? Or the stories we're telling or the beliefs we have about the thing. So if there's an inner critic that's saying, gosh, like I should be so much more successful than I am right now. Like I should have my shit together. I should know what my purpose is, like, right? So that inner critic that not only says those things, but then, yeah, you should know what your purpose is, and like, you know, all the feelings that come spiraling down when we start to feel the shame around it. So we want to hit the brakes and hit the pause button and have a conversation with that voice, right? The inner critic, which module 3 is all about. So is it true? Is it absolutely true that I should have my purpose figured out right now? Like, is that absolutely true? Oftentimes it's no. And then creating some evidence that is supportive of the reality of where we are, right? Yeah, no, I don't know my purpose because I kind of just woke up, right? Kind of just realized that I've been on like sleepwalking, or I kind of just realized that I don't want to be in this career path or what have you. So how could I have woken up earlier if, you know, I had these things had to unfold or what have you? So really questioning the inner critic, ladies, anytime that the gremlins start creeping and crawling out and starting to wage warfare on your worthiness and your value, question that, those motherfuckers. and then here's one that is really, this one's really deep. Every time I do this, I like, it's hugely resonant, and tender. So inner child reflection. So oftentimes what happens is we get kind of lost in terms of our, the way that we relate with ourselves. And we relate with ourselves as adults so much more harshly than we do with children, right? Like the way that maybe we even treat our adult peers or friends is like very different than how we would treat children. So inner child work, I'm not licensed in it, so I want to be just totally open about that, but it is something that I study and practice deeply. And essentially inner child work, I could open a whole lid around that, but for time's sake right now, what I will say is, what we want to do is we want to create a space and a relationship with ourselves as adults, as we do and would with our inner child, like ourselves at 3 years old or 6 years old or whatever age, when we kind of sit with ourselves, whatever age as a child feels really sweet and tender, like that version of ourselves. So if you need to go back through family photographs or family memories and find that version of yourself that is tender and that you can like sit and relate with in a really sweet and loving space. And just be with her, right? Like be with this sweet little human, this sweet creature, this sweet human being that is you, right? Was you, is you. And remind yourself that this is who you are. Like, sure, you've got 30 or 40 or 50 more years than you did, you know, at that age, but you're still this sweet, inherently worthy, valuable human being. And find that tenderness in yourself to relate with yourself. Find that forgiveness. Find that place of like, oh my gosh, you're doing your best. Like, you are literally doing your best in this big, crazy world, right? So sometimes that can be a really powerful way of breaking out of the shame or the gremlins, is like, oh yeah, like, I'm still an inner child. I'm still a little child in here. And giving ourselves that love and reflecting on that to ourselves. All right. So I just shared a bunch of stuff with you ladies, like what causes unworthiness and lack of value. And then what truly we are, which is these inherently unconditionally valuable and worthy beings. And then a couple of tools that you can use to reorient and to shift when you start to feel like you're going into that dark place or that low vibration that you guys were talking about earlier. So let's close out with, well, first of all, any questions? And then we're going to close out with an exercise that is pretty, I did this with my therapist like 5 years ago. And then I found it again this week and I was like, oh my God, it's pretty powerful. So any questions though, before we get to this? Okay, make sure I can see everyone. Alrighty. So we're going to do the same thing we did at the beginning of the call in round robin fashion. And let me just jot down some names here. It's Ashley, Ben, Paige, Julie. Awesome. And Julie, if we have time, I'm going to hot seat you for a second here. If we have time at the end of the call, which probably we won't, but I do recall that you had a pretty powerful shift and turnaround around this last year, or maybe a year and a half ago when we were working together with the the turnarounds and kind of calling out the like conditionality of your worth and value. So I might invite you to share that as an outro. Okay. So let's start with, we'll start with Ashley. Ashley, if you'd be willing to check in with Ren. So here are the questions. What do you need to do to move closer to embracing your natural self-worth? So there's three questions here. Let's focus on 14 minutes left. Let's do all three, but let's see if we can like laser in. So what do you need to move closer to embracing your natural self-worth? What do you need to let go of? So for example, I need to let go of judging myself based on my bank account. I need to stop judging myself based on my my weight or my friend circle or my diploma or lack thereof or what have you, right? So what do you need to let go of in terms of that conditionality or the stories you're telling yourself? What do you need to embrace, right? So maybe that's something like I need to embrace that I'm doing my best and I might fall down and stumble and I might be just starting, but I'm still worthy and I'm still valuable, right? How can you make this an active practice? So it's one thing to have these ahas and it's another thing to actually do it. So like, how can you let go of the thing or how can you embrace the thing? Okay. Is everybody, raise your hand if you're good to do this. Everybody comfortable or uncomfortably comfortable doing this? Sweet. All right. Ash, go ahead and take the mic.
Yeah. So Ren, to embrace to moving closer to your natural self or what do you need to let go of?
This is kind of a tough one. Probably a lot of things, but I'll just try to pick one. I think one thing that would be good to let go of, my first instinct is to let go of fear, but maybe that's not quite the right way to put it. I guess, yeah, maybe that is it. Just let go of fear. I mean, there's going to be things that scare the crap out of you. But just not letting those be boundaries, I guess. And embracing uncertainty.
Yeah. Okay.
Cause one thing that I did a little bit better this year a lot better than I have in previous rounds of shit hitting the fan. I still get to have more work on it, but I did do better, but I still feel so lost when I don't have work, whether that's a freelance job or a permanent job. I feel like lost. And then feeling that uncertainty because I'm not embracing it starts catapulting over the fence into the deep dank swamp. But being gentle with myself really helped this year more than anything else that I had tried previous, like the 08er session was like bad because I didn't work for like 3 months. It was shortly after I had graduated college the second time. So that was kind of a rough go around, but this time around I tried to be more organized and made an effort to be more gentle with myself when I fucked up, because I know I'm gonna fuck up. It's okay, I can recover from this, I'm still breathing.
Yeah, awesome, that's a great example. So practicing the art of being gentle with yourself.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Awesome. Thank you. Ren, will you check in with, we rearranged a bit. Paige,
Yeah, Paige, I love, 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 love your hair, by the way. I am super jealous.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Absolutely. For you, what would you like to do to move closer to embracing your natural self-worth? Like, what would you, what is something that you would like to let go of?
Honestly, I think my oversensitivity, because I think I can be very overly or hyper sensitive or hyper aware of like other people and maybe like judgments that may or may not even be against me. I don't know, maybe like internalizing things or like just being too sensitive in general. Like, I also want to be able to like know, like what you guys were talking about earlier, like whether or not I should take a step back from something and accept that criticism. Is this something I need for myself, or is this something, is it just their opinion? Do I care about what they think? Do I care about these things? Like, I don't want to just take what everybody says to the heart. Like, I want to be able to be less sensitive and to maybe differentiate more between like what is good criticism and what's just plain mean, I guess, or what I need to be sensitive towards or what I need to take and just be like, you know what, they're right, you know? That's been kind of obstacle for me.
Yeah, you can totally relate to that. So what would you like to embrace to help move closer to your natural self-worth?
I think that's what I'm working on right now, is just embracing myself and just expressing myself and, you know, kind of pushing those boundaries of what people may or may not think about me. And I think by changing my hair color and wearing the things that I want to wear and doing more of the things that I want to do, you know, not only is it slowly shaping my identity into more of who I want to be, but I'm also kind of, I guess, checking my own personal beliefs about what people will think of me if I do something that's weird or that they don't agree with. You know, even just changing my job, like quitting my job, like that was a big one.
Changing
my hair color, you know.
Hell yeah. Like,
probably wondering if I'm going through a midlife crisis, like, is she okay? I think for a minute there, I even looked in the mirror, like, wait a minute, am I okay? And I was like, I know how I got here. Like, I'm not losing my mind.
That's awesome.
It's just been a whirlwind. Like, it's kind of weird.
I totally get that. Totally.
Yeah, you just take a step back for a minute and you're like, wait a minute. Like, I made all this happen, right? Like, I didn't just end up here.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Thanks for sharing that, Paige. Yes. So inspiring. Yeah, like, you're such a beacon for this theme right now. Thank you so much.
transition.
You're frozen on my end and it's a little bit scratchy on the line. I'm not sure if maybe, oh, there you are. Okay, better.
Be my voice right now because my throat's scratchy.
Okay, it's still a little fuzzy.
Can you hear me?
Much better, thank you. Yeah, would you be willing to check in with Julie about these questions?
Yes. So, Julie, what do you need to do to move closer to embracing your natural self-worth?
Hey, okay, so I can think of a couple of things. One is perfection. I usually get kind of down on my self-worth when I make mistakes at work, especially, or if I'm you know, going through something at work where I'm facing clients or facing partners, and you know, something didn't deliver on my end. I start feeling really bad about it. And anytime I make any kind of mistakes at work, it really messes with my self-worth. So perfection is one for sure. And then another thing, you know, that I've been thinking about a lot in this conversation about self-worth is that I know that I feel higher self-worth when I'm treating myself better. So like my self-worth is very directly related to how I'm treating myself. So there's some things that, so what I think that I need to let go of are some bad habits or things that when I do them, I end up not feeling good about myself.
I was going to say, is there like a trigger, like a starting point, like something you notice, like a mistake happened, then I think this, then I feel this, like,
because
that might be something to just be more aware of, like, I guess your thought processes. But like, yeah, what, I guess.
I take a lot of, like with the perfection thing, you know, I take a lot of, like responsibility or blame, like on myself. So I feel like something is my fault. And
so I guess my, what would you need to embrace, I guess, to fix that or?
Self-compassion. Mm. And,
sounds not right.
And just understanding that when, you know, something happens like that, I think that, and maybe also like self-compassion and, maybe the feeling that not everything is riding on me.
Mm.
Yeah,
I think that's a big one. That one's a hard one to realize, I think, because I know I used to be really caught up in like everything that would happen at work every day, and it would always leave me going home and feeling just not good about myself, and then, you know, that negativity just kept spreading in my life.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a good place. Yeah. Perfectionism's hard. I struggle with it too.
So I'm going to hop in here for a second. Julie, how can you, I'm going to ask you a quick question, then we're going to keep the circle moving because I'm seeing that we're almost at time. As much as I'd love to be here for hours with y'all. how can you practice self-compassion and letting go of feeling like everything is riding on you all the time? Like, how can you kind of trigger a remembering or like break that stimulus response pattern? Does anything come to mind?
Well, there's, you know, like just learning these things from your call, like this actually, it really resonated with me, understanding like that, I'm inherently valuable just because I am, like being, you know, compared to like a puppy or a flower that is not, that they don't have to do anything to be worthy or valuable. So, you know, maybe that is like an affirmation or, you know, a meditation about being worthy just because I am.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. And as an invitation to all you ladies, I had a client, Paige did a cross-stitching of I Am Worthy in this awesome art piece as one of her first check-ins a year ago. Oh my God, I'm going to repost that in the group.
That's so funny.
She did this awesome, awesome art piece. And then I had another client order this beautifully like handwritten cursive framed memo that said, I am worthy because I exist, and like hang it in the house. And like, so I invite all of you to have fun with these affirmations. You can make them beautiful, you know, and make them something that's like sentimentally valuable to you. So, okay. Julie, would you be willing to check in with Jasmine?
Yes. So Jasmine, what is something that you need to let go of to embrace your natural worthiness?
Yes, I've been thinking about that as everyone's been talking, and I've got two things that come to mind. I'm pretty critical of my self-worth financially and our ability to provide not only for ourselves on a day-to-day and month-to-month and year-to-year basis, but I'm hyper aware of long-term goals and sometimes too focused on, I don't want to say retirement because I don't know if I believe in that, but having the means to put our kids through school and help them with their first house, but also go out to dinner and vacations and retire and just be able to honestly live the life we want to live, but forever. And that can sometimes be overwhelming, most times, always, really always. And so I'm pretty critical about myself, and I think I need to let that go, that constant wheel of focus. But then also intellectually, something that you said, Fawn, when you were going through the notes, when our first call, you recommended The Code of the Extraordinary Mind. I read the whole entire thing in like 2 days.
Show of hands, who's read it? Everybody.
It's like amazing. And so like, that's all I can think about now. And so you said something like, once you get the wheel turning, you can't stop. So now it's like the whole, like my world is shifted. And intellectually is a big one for me now. So I have to also, I don't know, let go that I know nothing, but I want to know everything. Mm-hmm. And I just like want to be this sponge every second of every day. And I think I need to let that go sometimes because that's overwhelming too. So.
And what do you need to embrace?
Well, it's actually what Fawn just said. My inner child. I see myself with my kids and like, I'm awesome. I'm just like so loving and fun and goofy and like silly. And I'm like running up and down the hallway and like making little things a big deal and literally smelling all the flowers on the way up the boardwalk to the beach. And like, why don't I do that for myself every day? And like all my friends and my husband, and like, why is it just for my 3-year-old just because she's 3? Yeah. So embrace that, because it's obviously in me, but I didn't remember it until I just had kids. So.
And so what can you do? Do you think you can do something on a daily basis to incorporate that into your life?
Yeah, I think, honestly, I've never meditated. I'm not sure what approach I'm taking yet, but I think, or I hope, if I spend some time to meditate and reflect, it will open up maybe like my mind space. So I won't be focused on mind things when I'm trying to like be in like my heart space. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
I'm so type A, I haven't been able to start yet because they told me that I should do it 15 mm-hmm. minutes twice a day, and I can't get everything done in the morning. So since I can't do it twice, I just don't do it, which I know is not right, but I'm working through that.
Yeah.
Awesome. We'll be talking about that, Jazz. Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. And then Jasmine, would you be willing to check in with Ashley about these questions? And I can put them back up too if you all need.
Yeah, I think I remember. Ashley, what do you think you want to try to focus on letting go of to harness your natural self-worth?
My self-doubt. I doubt myself. I've always doubted myself in terms of being smart enough or creative enough or strong enough to go against the grain, which is kind of what I'm doing now. With quitting my corporate job and all that. And can I really turn that into something that I'm passionate about and that is meaningful to me and that is helping others while also being able to pay my mortgage? So I think I need to let go of self-doubt for sure. And that whole way of thinking, and I don't know, it's been ingrained with, I don't know, I've always felt like I need to be smarter, I need to do more of this, or be more this way or that way, and so just need to let that go.
Yeah. And do you have anything that you want to try to embrace to help with that?
It's what a couple of, well, things were said earlier, self-compassion, and what you said earlier, that just recognizing I am fucking awesome. Like, I have done a lot of things in my life and some cool things, and I've made them happen myself. So why wouldn't I be able to make my next phase of life happen? Because I've done a lot of cool things. I've inspired people in ways that I don't even know about. Or sometimes they come back and tell me and all that. But sometimes I just need to take a step back and be like, I can do this. And because I have done this before, not maybe in this way, but I've done it and I've gotten through it and I've figured it out. So I just need to embrace that.
Yeah, it's like you've got fuel in the tank.
Right. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
You're saying it right now. You got it. You're full of top, baby.
Exactly.
What was the last one? A practice that you can put into place?
I think I just reminders, like putting them out, printing them out, or something about the fact that there's been different things that I've done along the way. Like, I graduated from college and moved to New York from Texas, not knowing anybody, not like 15 years ago. And I did it all on my own, not all on my own, but I did it and I was fine. And then I moved across the country and lived in LA for several years, and I'm doing that and I've made a great career and all that. So it's just little reminders that I am smart enough. I am strong enough. I can do this. I've done it. As well as things like journaling. I found that, I've journaled since starting to work with Fawn, not as much as I maybe want to, but now more so that I have this time off. But when I go back and look at some of what I've journaled, it is reminders and positive things that I'm like, oh yeah, that was a great idea, or that was cool, I did that, or whatever. So that's been helping to go back and look at some of my journaling.
Reminders.
Yeah.
You need like a positivity poster board right behind you. You put like, I did this.
I have, you can't see it, but there are a couple of those things, and one of them says, I am a badass. So
yeah. Awesome. Yeah, Jasmine, on that note, actually, this is an exercise that is very, very helpful when it comes to self-worth. I like to call it like a rampage of self-acknowledgement, right? Or a rampage of gratitude, self-gratitude, where, and I've probably had a couple of you do this exercise, but it's time to do it again if you're feeling inspired by it. But it's essentially looking back in your life and acknowledging yourself for things that you've done, right? And again, we want to be careful about like, oh, I did the thing, so I am more valuable or less valuable. Like, it's not because we did these things that we are more valuable. We're inherently valuable and we're fucking super capable, right? Like, even if we like scraped it together to like go get through, you know, a relationship or college or move across the country or, you know, have kiddos, like there's just so much that we do that we're clocking at such a fast speed that we don't give ourselves the acknowledgement that we did it. So by all means, like journal entry for tomorrow, journal theme for this week, right? Like, okay, things that I did in my 20s, things that I did that surprised the shit out of myself, or like that I didn't think I could do that I did. So that's a great exercise. And then also, I'm just going to throw a couple of other tips out here before we do takeaways. And by the way, I know we're over time. If anyone needs to hop off, we love you. Go ahead and feel free to hop off. But if you're willing to stay, I've got a couple tips and we'll do a takeaway round, which is always fun and connective. So another great tip. I did this one for a while with my therapist, and it was around the inner child work. And I printed out a photo of myself as a kiddo, like the most stupid, adorable photo I could find of myself as a kid. And I blew it up into like an 8x12 or whatever the size is, 8x10. It went to Kinko's, printed it out. And then sticky notes of like, I am worthy. I love myself. Like, I am inherently here on this planet to raise the vibration, right? So all these positive things that this little version of myself who is still who I am, it's not like these are two different people. And that was so helpful because anytime I would start to be like, wah, I would look at her and I'd be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, don't yell at me. Me. So that's a good one. And then Paige, this, and anyone who hasn't read this book, it's fun and it's straightforward. It's a book by Mark Manson. It's called The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. And you've probably seen it around at the bookstores on the shelves. I read it last, actually almost exactly a year ago. I got the audiobook and it was great. It was really helpful. And his blog is absolutely mind-blowing. He's one of the most popular bloggers in the world now, but he's been around for like 8 and 10 years. And he is a G. Like, he's got some wisdom in every single blog post. So yeah, Mark Manson, I cannot sing his praises highly enough. But that book is great, right? Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. And it's essentially like, it's all about being true to ourselves. Like, fuck the world. Fuck everyone else in the best way possible. Okay, so let's go ahead and dive into takeaways. If anybody has any additional questions or shares or insights, please post them in the Facebook group. And let's do a takeaway round. Does anybody have to hop off ASAP? Because I will put you first in line. Okay, cool.
Well, I could go first.
Yeah, that'd be great. Okay, so takeaway. Totally. So takeaway round, in 30 seconds to a minute, what resonated with you? Like, any insights, ahas, what are you taking away from this call? Stuff like that.
Just the connection with everyone tonight was really beautiful. I don't know. I'm excited to meet you all. And you've got good souls and you want good things for yourself and others, it seems like. And I'm just excited to be a part of other people who want the same thing. And just to keep learning and growing and improving. So
awesome.
Thank
you so much. Big hugs. Thanks for being with us, Jasmine. Thanks for being a part of the sisterhood. We're so grateful to have you as well. And your contribution tonight is like, man, it's so rich. Thank you. Thanks. Yeah. All right. Get some sleep. Yeah. With those kiddos.
Night, guys.
Night. Awesome. All right. Ashley, takeaway.
Yeah. So I definitely want to do the inner child thing that you mentioned earlier, as I think I need some more self-compassion. Mm. And then the other thing is that really resonated with me is this sense of community, because as I go through these last couple of months of self-growth and this mind shift in the way of thinking about life and how it should be and all of that, I have felt a little bit of disconnection from some of my social, like my friends and at times even my fiance. And I, having this community helps, this call helps, I feel better. Just talking to you guys and hearing you guys go through what you're doing and the mind blowing things or the way way to look at life. It just helps to have this sense of community because I do feel some type of ship. I want everybody else to come along with me and my work, but I know it needs to be on their own terms. And so this helps. And that was my kind of my takeaway from tonight. So.
Beautiful. Oh, thank you so much for that. I'm so grateful for this community as well. And each and every single one of you make it what it is. So thank you so much. And no, we are not alone. Yeah. And the inner child stuff, I know that you've got like a stack of books right now, Ashley, but for anybody who's interested in exploring actual practical ways to connect with your inner child, there's a book called Inner Bonding, which I may have already sent to some of you or recommended. Inner Bonding, it is awesome. It's actionable and it explains what inner child is and what, you know, how to heal it and all that good stuff. So let's see here. Julie, take away.
Yes. Well, I kind of already gave away my takeaway, but that the concept of understanding that we're of the natural world and that we're worthy just because we exist is something that I'm definitely going to explore more. I would like to think about myself like things in nature that I appreciate that aren't doing anything, they're just being, and I appreciate them for that, and I would like to think about myself in that way.
Beautiful. Yeah, thanks for that takeaway. That's a great one. At one point, I had a client who connected that idea with a kitten. And so they got a kitten calendar, or a kitten poster, a kitten calendar, and like put their picture on it. So whatever we need to do to remind ourselves, right? Paige, I'd love to hear your takeaway. You're a little fuzzy again. I'm not
sorry.
Sure.
Is that better?
Yes, thank you so much.
I don't know. It's funny because when you were talking about the inner child stuff, like I noticed this before, but I never like connected it together. But like a lot of times when I see something or somebody, or maybe they're like a difficult personality, or I don't know, someone that maybe rubbed me the wrong way, or even more generally with my father a lot of the time, like when he does something that hurts my feelings or whatever, I always imagine people as like the little versions of themselves, like when they were little kids, because it does help me feel compassion towards them even when they're being mean, because I just sort of see them as like the little version of themselves, like throwing a temper tantrum. And I'm like, what is this temper tantrum about? You know, like, what is the real issue here? Is it me? Is it you? Like, what's wrong, little kid? You know? And I guess I never really connected it to like doing that with myself. Like, I've done that with other people, but like, I never looked at it as me like looking at their inner child, like my inner child, I guess, acknowledging their inner child. And how it allows me to have more compassion for them. So, like, I guess I want to learn to do that with myself more. Like, you know, I've done that inner child work a little bit here and there, and I think I kind of got out of practice with it. So now that I'm kind of, like, putting that into perspective again, you know, I really want to get back into that because, I don't know.
Awesome.
I don't know if you guys have ever done that with people, but, like, yeah, sometimes when my dad or just other people are frustrating me, I'm just, like,
yeah.
I just imagine like them being their little version of themselves, and I'm like, well, I can't really be that mad at you.
Right, or at least we can access the compassion instead of just being
Or maybe I understand like maybe like what made you that way. Like you were just such a sweet child once. Like what happened? Yeah. You know, like because there are those damaged people in the world, or there's just people that are maybe just having a bad day or whatever. Just like looking at them as like being a little cranky little kid for a second.
Yeah. That's such a great reminder.
Thank and it's the same that. With you, you know, same
yeah.
with me.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Ren, takeaway.
I have to completely echo Julie, honestly, because that really resonated. I mean, everything, of course, resonates to one degree or another, but that really resonated loudly because especially being out here outside of town, and oh my God, the butterflies this year, just insane numbers of butterflies out here.
Wow.
But yeah, just, it's really easy to forget that we really are part of nature too. And just being here. Yeah. It's easy to forget. And it's really nice to have a reminder. And I think that's really helpful.
Beautiful. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. I'm so glad that connected with you ladies. Yeah, it's a really, really important one, like to be able to hold the mirror in front of ourselves and see ourselves as a work of nature, right? And like as a creature of the universe and a child of the universe, and stop treating ourselves so damn shitty. all right. I think that was all of you. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you all so much for being here and taking time out of your busy, busy lives and days. And, you know, I know that you all have a lot going on, but these calls are so potent and like have such a deep effect on everybody. So each of you matter. Each of you are so incredibly valuable. And I just love sharing this time with you. It's really sweet. So I emailed the workbook out. You all have it. I will have this call transcribed. So that'll be up because there was some pretty awesome stuff that was like communicated earlier. And anything that you want to add or any questions you have, please feel free to post in the Facebook group and we'll all convene there. Okay, everybody have a beautiful night. Treat yourselves like flowers and kittens. All right.
Bye.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.